they say that the people who are, you know, that all the great comedians almost always have turned, you know, they have some extraordinary tragedy in their lives, and they develop their humor as a response to it.
Yes, but I develop mine a lot of the times to comfort my mom, because, you know, I mean, she saw the way that I was being treated, not so much my brothers, I was the whipping boy, and she would just be reduced to tears a lot of times sitting in her room, and I would come in and I would just say stuff, I'd Tourette out little bits and craziness, you know, just to pull her out of it.
Even though you were hurting, it hurt you to see her hurting over you.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I could take a beating. I finally learned how to just galvanize myself. You know, where you just totally, like, disassociate.
Yeah.
You know, and your body can sit there and get smacked around and punched or whatever, and your mind is a million miles away.
What made you the whipping boy?
Well, my dad was very, very angry. I mean, he was abused as a child. And he lived in a world of... He lived in a matriarchal situation, you know. It was his mother and her sister and then their mother. And they're all these big German, you know... I don't know, you know, like staunch,
stoic,
not so much stoic, but just, you know, angry and you know, punishment inclined. You know what I mean? Like to dish out punishment.
Yeah, corporal.
And bordering on, you know, the sado.
But what would make you the one where he would unleash that upon,
what,
as opposed to
that?
Your brothers?
Because I could do little things that he seemed to be threatened by.
Like what?
Well, I could draw. He was an artist, and I could pick up a pen and start drawing immediately. He was a musician, a drummer, and then I learned to play trumpet when I was 10 years old. I mean, he didn't sit right with any of these things. Plus, he was very jealous of me because my mother loved me more than him.
An Oedipal thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it happened, you know, from day one. He resented, eventually, the fact that I was born, you know, because I took away his mommy.
What is your relationship with your brothers like? Did they see this going on? Did they feel bad for you?
Only my other brother. He's dead now. He bore witness to an awful lot of stuff, and he himself was the brunt of a lot of stuff that I, you know, teased him and bothered him, you know, because it trickled down.
Yeah. How did you stop that pattern, or have you? You know, a lot of times people who...
Well, I grew up. We were kids, you know.
But a lot, you know, what you were saying, that your father was, you know, he was a victim of abuse himself, you know, and that's often, you know, the pattern continues to repeat itself a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
How did you stop that pattern? Was it through your voice work?
No, not really. I had a mean streak. Now, I'm such a dyed-in-the-wool animal lover. I cannot, you know, I would be so filled with anger and rage, like on my way to school, it was a kick at the cat, as they used to say. If you're angry and you don't know where to direct it, you'll kick a wall that has, you know, wet paint on it. That'll teach them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hurt yourself in the doing of it. But I mean, I would, you know, I'd go out and kick the shit out of some little cat or something, you know, just like, you know, smack it. You know, go over and go to pet it and then whack it, you know, because that's all I knew. And you know, in a weird way, in a weird permutation of the whole situation, maybe that's, you know, to me that was supposed to be love. Because why would your parent hit you or hurt you? Why? You know, it never makes sense to a kid.
Yeah.
So it must be because, and they always used to say, you know, it's because I care about you. But, I mean, I got over that stuff, and what I did was start to hurt myself.
How so?
Because I started drinking and doing drugs when I was about 21. And I was playing in a band, and it was all part of the picture, you know. So it could be rosy for you if you, you know, you couldn't survive anywhere else, but in a band, you were like, you know, golden.
Yeah.
And
you had girls after you, and
yeah, but I used to punch walls, and I used to cause ruckuses and get into fights wherever I went, and, you know, throw things at people.
How did you stop that?
Well, I had to go to rehab. I had a job in radio. I stopped playing music.
Yeah.
Because my Bandex license got revoked in 1978.
Huh.
You know? And so I had to, I tried to do some stand-up comedy, but I don't have the discipline for it. I used to just go out there, and I didn't care if I died or lived or whatever. You know, I'd just Tourette out, I'd just say stuff. You know, because I was always searching. I just couldn't go up there and do 12 minutes and pretend like I just thought of it. You know, for 3 years.
How long have you, are you still sober?
What's that?
Are you still sober?
I can't understand the last word, I'm sorry.
Are you still sober?
Oh, sober, yeah. I've been sober for 22 years, but I had to go into rehab. I had a series of car accidents and almost got killed one night and just walked away from it chuckling, you know, smashed.
Were you at a point where you didn't necessarily want to die, but you just didn't care if you lived?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, you put your finger on it. There is a point that you can reach in your life where...
You just shrug.
You don't want to live, but you haven't made the decision to die.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, you let the wind blow you around. And I have a zillion stories. I mean, I should write a book. I mean, these are stories that you think, no, that couldn't be true. It couldn't possibly be true.
It's a strange question, but are you in some way glad that you went through that?
Well, I could ask you the same thing, and I don't mean to pull a Donald Rumsfeld, you know, interviewing myself.
No, I don't mind it.
But I could ask you the same thing. Are you glad? You know, because if you're where you are, and it seems okay, then you had to have gone through those things for you to be the total sum of your experiences, which led you to the very spot and the very phone you're talking on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like no matter what you did, if you finally, you know, get yourself together and you mean well and things are going okay, it's like, well, it had to be that way. You know, I, the universe obviously needed to teach me something.
Do you believe in a higher power?
Yes, I do. I don't know what it is. I just think it's some higher form of energy and some sort of being, but I can't embody it in my mind. I know I have a one-to-one kind of a spiritual connection to whatever that is, but I was raised, I had Catholicism shoved down my throat. I was an altar boy. I knew the Mass in Latin.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, really?
I didn't know the Mass in Latin, but I was an altar boy and I had Catholicism shoved down my face, but
yeah,
I'm 33, you know, so it's a, so we, Vatican II had happened.
Yeah, you know, and then you get Father Precum, you know, trying to give you a massage and shit like that, and
The priest at my church got a nun pregnant, and my mother, who was the president of the PTA of my Catholic grade school, helped to deliver the baby and keep the whole thing hidden.
Really?
Yeah, and he's still the priest.
First thing
still
I was
going to
say is, I think it's probably a guy masquerading as a nun if you're talking a priest, you know.